Well, I'm very thankful this morning to be on the winning side. And I was just really encouraged by that song. And there's a verse, part of the verse of that song said, "The Lord placed me on the winning side." It wasn't because I was so good. Y'all remember ever being, having, gonna divide up into teams for like maybe a softball game or something, and maybe when you go in and everybody lines up and you've got captains and you didn't want to be the last one chosen. You know, you wanted to be on the winning side and you didn't want to be looked over. Do you know that the Lord has chosen all of us this morning if we would just accept? The Lord has chosen us to be on the winning side. And I am thankful this morning to report that I'm on the winning side by the grace of God today. Desire and interest in your prayers. I've written on the board birthday money. And we're going to get there in just a little bit. But if you will take a little trip with me back to a land that we have visited before, I would like the Lord to have us go back to the land of Zarephath for just a little bit this morning. In 1 Kings in the 17th chapter, we'll begin reading with verse 8. And if you will remember, the prophet Elijah, it was the famine was in the land, and Elijah had been at the brook Cherith. And God had been providing for the prophet in the time of famine. And then the brook dried up. And that's where we're going to pick up this morning in the 8th verse, the 17th chapter, 1 Kings. But keep in mind here that, and this is not the crux of the burden, but Elijah had been at the brook Cherith and the brook dried up. And some would say, well, because the brook dried up, God, you shouldn't have been there to start with. If God leads you to the brook, does that mean that it's always going to have water? No, it doesn't. There was a time that God wanted Elijah to be at Cherith. And there is a time that when we follow the leadings of the Lord, that does not mean that we're going to be there forever. Because there may come a time that the brook is going to dry up. But keep in mind, when the brook dries up, God still has a plan. So if you are where you are this morning and it seems like that things are just not working out very well, it does not mean that you have displeased God, and it does not mean that you didn't understand God's will for your life, but God has something new in mind for you. So the brook dried up, and it said, "The word of the Lord came unto him, saying," I am so thankful that the word of the Lord is still coming forth saying. When you are beside the brook, and it has dried up, and the voice of the Lord comes and speaks once again, it's God has not forsaken me. The Lord has not left His people alone, but God is still leading and He is still moving by His Spirit. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. And behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath. I think that this should be a challenge as an example of obedience to God's will. Because Elijah could have stayed there in his stubbornness and said, "Lord, you are the one that told me to come to Cherith. You told me to come here, and I'm going to stay right here." And the brook dried up. There was no more water, and Elijah could have starved to death at the brook of Cherith, saying, "Lord, you are the one that brought me here." Folks, the Lord has a plan in mind for yesterday, and He's got a new plan in mind for us today. When the word of the Lord comes along and says, "Arise and get thee to Zarephath," we need to do just what Elijah did. He got up and he went. But too many times, if we're not careful, we will, in our own thinking, stay where we are. Number one, because we're comfortable. And do you know, I found that even when Cherith dries up and we're comfortable living there, we stay there and we start to starve. There are people this morning spiritually that are starving to death because this is where I've always been. This is what I've always known. And change is hard. even when it is leaving something that's not good for you, we're comfortable with the status quo. But when the word of the Lord comes along and says, arise and get thee to Zarephath, folks, let's have the courage to get up and go to Zarephath. The Lord is going to get us out of our comfort zone. The Lord has a new plan for our life this morning. And so Elijah arose and he went. And keep in mind that God said, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. There is something wrong with this picture. Elijah was a grown man. And here God is telling Elijah, there's a widow woman that is going to, I've told to take care of you. It should have been the other way around. But do you see, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. There are sometimes in our minds, we look at things and say, okay, Lord, this is the way you need to do it. Have you ever told the Lord what he needed to do in prayer? And the Lord reminded you, you know what, I'm God? What, you're telling me what to do? The Lord said, I've commanded a widow woman, someone that probably needed some help, and I told her to help you. Well, Elijah still was faithful. And he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. She was out working, and she was there at the gate of the city. Do you know when the Lord calls us to go and move, he will open the way for us. The Lord will prepare the way. And he went, and the woman was picking up sticks, and he called and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. You take note of the order of things here. He said, would someone go get me a bottle of water? The water's there. It's available. And oh, by the way, could you bring me a T-bone steak while you're at it? Because see, he didn't start with asking for what she didn't have. He started by asking something that common courtesy and hospitality is, you offer water to the visitors. And so he said, would you please give me some water? And as she's walking away, he said, oh, by the way, and they're in a place of famine, and this is a widow woman. He said, oh, by the way, could you bring me some bread to eat? Now we're talking about a different story. Now something else is going on. It reminds me of that fable, or not fable, the story about stone soup. Y'all remember that? Put a little water in the pot. They said, we don't have anything. They said, well, you know, this, they put some stones in it. Said, this will be good soup. You just watch. And he said, it's a little bit better if you put a few carrots in it, but if you don't have them, we understand. They came up with some carrots. Pretty soon they said, you know what? This is going to be wonderful soup. If you had a few onions, it would make it a little better, but that's all right. And they brought some onions. It's almost like Elijah was asking for something he knew that she was willing to do. And then he went a step further. You have some bread? This is the response. She said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake. I don't have any bread to give to you, but I have a handful of meal in a barrel, and I have a little bit of oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it. And we may die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Do you know this morning that there are going to be times in life, financially, emotionally, and yes, spiritually, that it seems like we get to the end of our resources. It just feels like I can't go on anymore. And there are struggles that people have in their life. The brook's dried up. And this woman, it wasn't just Elijah, this woman said, I don't have any bread to give. You're asking too much of me. She said, I just have a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and this is our last meal. And then I have a little son that I'm trying to take care of, and I'm going to go bake what we can, that meal and that oil, and we're going to have a last meal together, and then we're going to die. There's no one to help us. No one can do anything for us. No one has the ability to meet the need that I have. You ever been there? No one has the ability to meet the need that I have. And she was at the end of her resources. And Elijah spoke unto her, and he said, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." And he said, "Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Do you know, again, there's something about this that just doesn't quite seem right. Here's the prophet saying, "Go give me first." The order of that seems a little bit mixed up. But do you know that it was an issue of obedience to God? But look at it from the widow's perspective, because Elijah went on and told her something. He said, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. She went and made him something to eat first. Do you know that the Lord is still saying to His people in the darkest hours, "Don't be afraid. Don't give up hope. You thought that it was over. It's not over, folks, because God is still alive. It's not over." He said, "Don't be afraid." And yet He said, "Go and make for me first." You know, there is something about ministering in your poverty. Has the Lord ever told you to help someone out and you needed it worse? Lord put it on your heart, say, "You know what, I want you to go and give them something. I want you to go buy them some groceries, or I want you to go give them an offering." And you're sitting here thinking, "Lord, I need it worse than they do." You ever been there? Do according to the voice of the Lord. There is something about ministering in our abundance. And the Scripture says that he that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruit. In other words, it would be very difficult, and it's actually out of order, for me to preach to you about forgiveness if I've not forgiven myself. It's not in order to get up and preach about something that I'm not living to myself. At the same time, when the Lord gives a message to give, I'm praying for myself because I have needs too. But there is something about ministering in our poverty as well. There is something about giving and doing when you are at the end of your resources and the Lord says, "I want you to give." "Lord, I don't feel like preaching this morning. Lord, I'm worn out. Lord, I'm tired." You give in your poverty. You minister in your poverty. You mothers, when the day is long and you're tired and you're worn out and the children still need help, you are ministering not of your abundance, but of your poverty. And God will bless us when we minister out of our poverty, folks. Too many times we expect that I will give when I'm strong and I'm rested and I've got plenty. Then I'll be the mother that I should be to my children. Then I will be the father that I should be. Then I will be the husband. Then I will be the wife. Folks, we do not always live in an area, in a place of abundance. But we need to be willing to do the Word of God and the will of God in our poverty. Mothers, I know, and this is why we give honor to mothers, but you minister out of your poverty. "I'm tired." You have personal needs too. And when you hear your husband calling your name from the one room, and you hear your children from all the other rooms, like, "What do? Answer your husband first, wives. But really, the point is that you're giving of yourself and you feel torn and you have so many responsibilities and so many needs and so many things to do. And you're ministering out of your poverty. Do you know that's where the greatest blessings of God are found? When we do what we don't feel like doing, but nevertheless, according to the will of God, I'm going to do this. The widow woman was there and the prophet said, "By the way, go get me a cake," because God says He's going to take care of it. And she went and did according to the word of the prophet because she believed that it was God's will. If you know what God's will is this morning and you feel impoverished, it's a good place to be. Because if you feel like you are ministering out of your abundance and you feel like, well, I'm serving the Lord and I've got it all together and now I'm in a position that I can give and I can, you will hinder the working of God. Because we only have to give as God gives to us. In our poverty, we can become rich in the things of God. In our poverty this morning, we can be blessed in our homes. In our poverty, in our neediness, when we will obey the Spirit of the Lord, He has riches to give to us. And I'm not talking about a bank full of money. I'm talking about spiritual blessings that will enable us to live a victorious life. This is not the message the world is preaching. If you follow the Lord, your bank account will be full. You'll get the promotion. You'll have good health. I don't find that in the Bible, but I find that Jesus Christ became poor for our sake. He left the splendor of heaven and He became poor that we might be rich. Rich in what? Rich in spirit, rich in faith, rich in grace, rich in power to overcome the enemy. And then we don't look at it and say, well, I overcame. It's no, by the grace and the power of God, God enabled me to overcome. In my poverty, I was rich because the Lord did something for me. So we need to be willing then to move on out and not be afraid and do what the Lord calls for. And it went on to say then, and until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth, she did, in verse 15, she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat for many days. And it said, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. In their poverty, God increased and helped them through each day. He did not give them the blessings for tomorrow. He gave them what they needed for the day. If you do not feel like you have the grace and the strength to overcome the enemy tomorrow, I don't either. But by the Lord's help, we have today what we need to serve the Lord acceptably as is pleasing to Him. There was enough in that bottom of that barrel. Every day they could scrape the bottom. And it kept on producing. It kept on giving. We won't take the time to read it this morning, but remember when Abraham took his son Isaac, it's found over in Genesis 22. He took his son Isaac to offer him to the Lord on the mountain, tied him down, and when he took that knife and he was brought it up to sacrifice his son, and he lifted up his eyes, and remember there was something caught in the thicket. There was a ram that God had provided in the thicket, and it said that Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. In his willingness to obey the Lord, Abraham was fixing to become real poor real fast. Because this was the son of promise. Lord, you gave me Isaac. And now you're asking for him back. This morning, are we willing to give back to God what he's given to us? You say, but Lord, you gave this to me. Are you willing to give it back? Are you willing to place your family on the altar? Are you willing to place your earthly goods on the altar? Are you willing to place your time on the altar and say, Lord, I give it back to you? But God provided, and that's why Abraham said, this is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. This morning, it is no disgrace for us to acknowledge our neediness before the Lord. And I know this kind of dovetails with a few of the messages that have been brought recently. But it is no disgrace to acknowledge that I am needy before the Lord, because the truth of the matter is this. In our neediness and in our spiritual poverty is when we can become rich, because the Lord is the one that will provide what we need for our day. It was when the little boy placed his 5 loaves and 2 little fish in the hands of Jesus that Christ was the one that multiplied it. It was when the scripture says over in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall do what? Supply all of your needs according to what? His riches. According to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. He wasn't talking about the monetary things of life. Although I will say this, the Lord takes care of His children. We can trust Him for every need in our life. I remember a time, and I believe in being very careful with your finances, but I remember a time that it was in the beginning of our marriage, we had inadvertently, something had happened and overdrawn our account. It would have overdrawn, but someone unbeknownst to us had deposited some money. It's about the only time they'd ever done it. And I went and looked at our statements, like, where's this money came from? And I looked above it, and there had been a withdrawal that had slipped through the cracks. And we didn't have any fees to pay. Nothing was overdrawn because the Lord had just put a little bit more in the barrel. Do you know the Lord, I'm not as interested in the physical and temporal this morning as in the spiritual. If you feel like you're at the end of your spiritual resources, and it seems like I just don't have the strength to go on, that places us in a position with God that we can become rich through His grace and through His glory. My God shall supply all of your needs. The miracle-working God is in the house. I'm needy. I know where to go to. God is in the house. I know where to look to in my neediness, in my poverty. And children in Africa, in some certain countries, they are taught to not only, they are taught to ask very forcefully if they need something. It's not just saying, oh, they're taught in school, if you see your uncle has something and you need it, then go ask him. Uncle, give me that. And so then you can go and the children will come up and say, give me this and give me that. In our minds, that's rude in our culture. But they have been taught if you need something, you go ask. Do you know this morning the Lord wants us to learn a lesson? That if we have needs in our life, we do not need to go on and think, well, I don't want to bother anybody. Have you ever not told someone a need because you said you didn't want to bother them? Husbands, wives, have you ever not shared a burden that you had because I just don't want to weigh my companion down with it? I'm going to carry it myself. And someone might have been able to help carry the load. One of my children recently, there was something they were holding in close to themselves. Finally, I said, you know what? You need to tell us. What are you thinking? You need to share that. My opinion is it gave a little bit of release. Just to share the burden. Do you know this morning that the Lord wants us to come in our poverty and share the burden? In our weakness. And you wonder, what is this about birthday money? I want to tell you about birthday money for just a minute. My wife has a birthday once a year. I don't know of anybody that has more than that. I've wondered about my wife though. She has a birthday once a year. It's in April. And it has become kind of a joke in our house that it seems like about year round, my wife has birthday money. And it can be her birthday's in April. And I don't know where it comes from. I don't think she knows where it comes from. I asked her if I could share this. You did say yes, right? But it's a reality is that there are special things that come up. And she says, Michael, she said, I'll buy it with birthday money. You know, a special item, there's an appliance. Well, it was an iron. It was a really nice iron. And if you sisters do much ironing, this is really worth it. But it was a special iron that we had seen when we were in Germany. And she's like, Michael, I really like one of those. She said, I'll buy it with birthday money. I was like, that's fine with me. It's birthday money. That's kind of that extra money, right? My birthday money normally goes on bills, but you know, there's this birthday money, and so she bought it, and then it was shortly after that, there was something else that came up, and she said, it's okay, Michael. She said, I'll buy it with birthday money. And it's not April anymore. And it's not April, you know, April, May, June, July, August, in September, there's still birthday money. It said, well, oh, she said, oh, I got this. She said, I got it with birthday money. And she's not siphoning. Don't misunderstand. Don't want anybody to get concerned here. But I know sometimes her mother, and I think her mother has changed the name to birthday money now. Her mom used to give her from time to time, give her some and say, this is soul money. Now it's birthday money. Her mom gave me some money a couple months ago. Said, this is birthday money. It wasn't my birthday. But she had heard there's this endless supply. And I don't know where it comes from. But when there is a need, there is birthday money. There is something we had as a family. A need came up and Renee said, I'll take care of it. It's birthday money. So then another need came up. I think it was the electric bill. I said, honey, birthday money? But do you know this is the reality? Is that there's something there. It seemed like that meal in the bottom of the barrel. And this is the lesson for us today. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. God spake to Paul, and he said, my grace is what? It's sufficient. My grace is enough. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's response was, most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ would rest upon me. For when I am weak, he went on to say, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses. That sounds like poverty to me. That sounds like scraping the bottom of the barrel. In distress, in persecution, in necessities, in infirmities. But he said this, when I am weak, then am I what? Then am I strong. When I am weak, then am I strong. And this is the lesson the Lord began to talk to me about, is His grace is just like birth. Actually, it's so much better, because this really isn't endless. But God's grace, there is an endless supply. That when there is a need, there is sufficient grace to give us what we need. If you feel like you're like that widow woman, and it's like, I'm just going to die. I don't have the strength to overcome, and I'm barely making it. Folks, God's grace is like birthday money. There's some more of it. Renee, do you have birthday money left? A little bit. That's all she always has. It's a little bit, but you know, it's always been enough. It's been enough. You know, that's like God's grace. You say, well, I just have a little bit of grace. You use that little bit of grace and God's going to have a little bit more. And you know what month it is? It's October and her birthday's in April. How many of y'all still have birthday money? I know there have been some others that sometimes they'll give, you know, my wife a little bit, say this just a little extra is birthday money. So we trust the Lord won't stop that well, whatever it is. But you know, this is what God's grace is. It's His grace. Because we feel like I can't do it. How can I overcome? I'm worn out. I'm tired. But Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Why is that? Because God's grace was still there. His favor, and by definition, grace, and I know the formal definition is unmerited favor, but what it's saying is, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. It was something that God gave to us out of His love. And you know that is what enables us to make it today, living for the Lord with victory in our life. It's because His grace was just like that example of birthday money. There was just a little bit left, and it met the needs that I had today. This morning, if you've ever come to a place in your life that it feels like the grace of God has just been about depleted, I want you to know that there's a little bit more grace. There's a little bit more. And it is to us this morning that if we will humble our hearts, we can access that grace. Because the grace is available. The grace where we make ourselves We don't avail ourselves of that grace when we don't choose to be obedient to the Lord. But when we will humble our heart, there is grace available. And I just would like us to remember, if the little illustration Jesus taught in parables, but if the little illustration can help you remember, there's just this supply. Don't know where it comes from, but it just seems like it's always there. That's grace for us. There is no need for any of us in this chapel this morning to leave here in defeat. If you feel like I'm beaten up, I'm discouraged, there's grace. In your weakness, there's grace for us. And that is the reason why the Scripture teaches us in Hebrews 4 and 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't give up this morning. You mothers, when you're tired, do you give up? Well, you keep on giving, don't you? You keep on working. Fathers, when it seems like it's just things just aren't coming together, you throw your hands up and walk away? No, I'm going to keep trying because I've got a duty. I've got responsibility. This morning, the devil is trying to attack our integrity with God. He's trying to attack our faith. He's trying to attack our victory. Let's not give up, but let's hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest. There's a double negative in that scripture. So in essence, it says, for we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, or come with assurance, to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. If there's a need this morning in your life, if there's something you've been struggling with and it just seems like you feel like that widow woman, it's over. It's not over this morning. The Lord has more grace for us. And in our poverty, we can become rich through the grace of Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that endless supply of grace that just keeps on giving and enabling us to move forward in our walk with God. Amen.